It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The question is simple. The decision is hard. It's time for the hypothetical button game on The Drive.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. 913-586-7965, and I do want to respond to a couple of texts we had. We were talking about Josh Allen and how his career, in a lot of ways, mirrors the start that Peyton Manning had in his career. Rob, this is the scenario. It is 2 minutes left in the game, and the ball is at the 25-yard line. It was a touchback. Would you feel better if the defense was on the field up four and Josh Allen is taking the field? Or would you feel better if the Chiefs are down four and Patrick Mahomes has the opportunity to take the Chiefs down the field and go win the game? Which unit do you feel more comfortable on the field in a 2 minute game? Is it the defense up four needing to get a stop? Or is it the offense down four needing to go get a touchdown?
I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes on the offense. And not just because I think Patrick Mahomes is the right play, because it's Patrick Mahomes, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time already. I think there's a little bit of, maybe it's recency bias by me, but last week I saw the defense fold in a game-winning scenario. I know the Chiefs won, but it took a miraculous special teams play for them to win. Other than that, Bo Nix went right down the field on that defense with a chance to win the game. Last year, Bills and Chiefs, the Bills had the ball in a similar scenario. They went down the field, and the Chiefs didn't give up a touchdown, but the Bills were lining up for a game-tying type of kick. So I know the defense is great, and the defense has been sensational this year. And even earlier this year, by the way, we had a situation like this, and the Ravens were a toenail, as Mitch Holtis says, away from scoring the touchdown. So I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes in the offense because it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. I have the best player on the field with the ball in his hand late. I will take that scenario all the time. That's the scenario I had in the Super Bowl last year at the Niners, and he walked away with the Lombardi Trophy. So I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes instead of taking the defense.
I'm going to take the defense on this field for this reason. Now, to go back, I also think it's fair to note that the special teams, they kicked the ball outside the landing zone, so the drive started on the 40-yard line. It's really hard to stop somebody from getting in field goal range if you're going to put the ball on the 40-yard line. So I think it's a little bit unfair toward the defense, but that's neither here nor there. Am I going to take the 11th rank unit, or am I going to take the 5th rank unit? I'm going to side with the defense here. The Chiefs are undefeated, not because of their offense. They're undefeated right now because their defense has come up time and time again. So we can obviously find a couple examples where the defense hasn't been completely locked down. This is also the same defense that got put in a really bad spot by the offense. It's first and goal from the 3-yard line, and that team forced a 4-and-out for them to go down the field and win the game. When the offense has put this team in bad spots, whether it's due a penalty, whether it's due a turnovers, their defense has gotten them out of basically every jam for the last 18 months. When was the last time that the offense got the defense out of a jam? At this point, we talk about complementary football. It hasn't really been complementary both offensively and defensively. It's usually the offense does something, and then the defense goes out there and cleans up the mess that the offense made. just this past week, the Chiefs had a chance to put that game on ice. Patrick Mahomes had a chance to put the game on ice, and he threw the ball out of bounds, and they had to kick a field goal in that scenario and rely on their special teams to save them from the fire. I feel more confident with the Chiefs defense and them getting off the field that if this is a 24-21 game and it's 2 minutes to go and you were telling the defense, you guys got to get one stop to go win the game, I trust their defense more than I trust their offense to go out there and get the stop.
I understand what you're saying, and maybe this is me playing the results, but in the answer to your question of when was the last time the offense bailed the defense out of the fire, the Super Bowl? Twice? The Chiefs went down the field and kicked a game-tying field goal to end the game in Vegas. Okay, boom. Tie game. We're headed to overtime. In overtime.
Chiefs also held them to a field goal. In true, overtime, defense held them to a field goal.
It was touchdown to win the game, which is the exact same scenario as you just laid out. And they're down three, not down four. But it was go score a touchdown against one of the best defenses in the league. And the Chiefs went down the field and scored a touchdown. And I would tell you that that offense in the Super Bowl is eerily similar to the one they're going to be playing on Sunday. I know we've, you know, messed around with names and things of that nature, but the weaponry is similar. I would still take the Chiefs. So the text line points out the same thing kind of happened in the Bucks game. The defense had a chance to go ice down and win the game. They failed. The offense then had a chance to go ice down and win the game. They succeeded. I'm just... maybe it's name and reputation and all those things. I am not taking so. I am not willingly being like, I'd rather not see Mahomes on the field than anything else.
Text line 913-586-7965. We'll ask you guys the same question. We'll read some of your texts here. It is 2 minutes left in the game, and the ball is on the 25-yard line. I can give you one of two scenarios. Would you feel better with the Chiefs with the four-point lead, and you were asking their defense to hold Josh Allen and not give up a touchdown? Or would you rather take being down four in that scenario, and Patrick Mahomes is taking the field? You got two timeouts. You got all the time to work. You got four down. And you got to go score a touchdown. Let us know what you guys think. 913-586-7965. Coming up in a bit, we're going to be joined by Steve Tasker. He covers the Buffalo Bills on One Bills Way. Also with WGR, he is on the Bills Radio Network as well. I want to read one text to you guys, 913-586-7965. We were talking about Josh Allen and how his career in a lot of ways has mirrored the start that Peyton Manning had in Indianapolis. And eventually Peyton Manning broke through. Is Josh Allen going to break through? Someone texted in, CDOT, Josh Allen is nothing but the next Phillip Rivers. Okay, if you think that about Josh Allen, that is fair. I can't tell you you are right or wrong. We are still writing the story for Josh Allen. But this is what I would push back on Josh Allen if you think he's the next Phillip Rivers. Who's the next Drew Brees then? Who's the next Ben Roethlisberger? Who's the next Aaron Rodgers? Or do these characters not exist in Patrick Mahomes' story? Because even with how great Tom Brady was, and Brady won a lot of championships, had a lot of success, and beat all of these guys that we're talking about, there was still room for Aaron Rodgers to happen during this time. There was still room for Eli Manning to happen during this time, and all of these other guys. So if you were telling me that Josh Allen is Phillip Rivers in this story, a really good quarterback who scores a lot and puts up a lot of numbers but is unable to get to the next level, that's fair. Is there a Drew Brees in this generation? Is there a Aaron Rodgers? Is there a Ben Roethlisberger? Is there a Russell Wilson in this generation? Or again, do these characters just not exist and Patrick is just, he's the lone quarterback that has this kind of success? I think Josh Allen eventually gets one. I don't know when it's going to be. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's next year. I don't know exactly when it's going to be, but I do think that he's too good and too talented of a quarterback to not eventually get there. I think at some point in Josh Allen's career, everything just lines up, and it's really hard to get all of those things to line up. It's been really hard for Josh Allen to do it. It's been really hard for Lamar to do it. It's been really hard for all of these other guys to do it. I'm just going to guess at one point in his career, it happens. Let me ask you this question, Rob, about Josh Allen. If I set the over-under on Super Bowl appearances for Josh Allen at 1.5, so not wins, just do you think that Josh Allen makes it to two or more Super Bowls in his career? Would you take the over or the under on 1.5?
First off, I echo what Danny said on the show yesterday and catch on the podcast page. That's the right number. That's a really good number. I'm going to take the over. I think Allen ends his tenure in Buffalo or his time in the NFL, and we will look back at him as... he was the biggest consistent threat to Mahomes. I think he eventually gets to two. Burrow has the one, but I think Burrow's team is on the wrong side of the pendulum. They are now in regression a little bit. Lamar has just never been able to do it. Like, even in the regular season, Lamar seems to always be a little bit short of Mahomes. And outside of that, I don't trust C.J. Stroud right now. I don't trust Tua. There's a lot of guys in the league I just don't think are in that category. So I think I'd take the over, but I think the number is two. I don't think he gets to more than two in his career.
Yeah, I would probably take the over as well. I agree with a lot of the things that you said. That feels about right to me. It does feel like Josh Allen gets to a couple. Maybe his career is really close to Peyton Manning. You remember, Peyton had the one Super Bowl appearance in Indianapolis. There was a gap in between, and then he got to two in Denver. He got to the one where they got blown out by Seattle, and then they won the final one in his career where they beat the Carolina Panthers. So maybe that's how things kind of play itself out for Josh Allen. I just think that he's just too talented of a player. I don't know if there's been too many guys in league history kind of like him. He's probably the closest we've seen to Cam Newton, but just a much better passer than I think Cam Newton developed into at Carolina. When you think about his arm, his downfield ability, his short yardage running game, I think Josh Allen's one of the more special and unique quarterbacks that we've seen in the league. Coming up next, we're going to head to Buffalo to be joined by Steve Tasker. He is in the Buffalo Bills Hall of Fame. He also is on the Bills Radio Network. We'll get their perspective on Sunday's matchup between the Chiefs and the Bills. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you, getting you ready for Chiefs and Bills, one of the most important games of the NFL season. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by a Bills legend. Steve Tasker joins us on the show today. Steve, happy to have you join us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Steve. Let's start with this. I'm in Kansas City. Obviously, the anticipation and hype for this one is through the roof. Everyone's excited to go back to Buffalo. These two teams usually play really tight, really contested game. What's the vibe in Buffalo with Kansas City coming into town?
It's a playoff vibe. I mean, this is an enormous game. Fans are, you know, off the charts excited about it. They're really proud of, you know, the rivalry between these two teams. You know, there's a lot of respect up here, obviously, for Kansas City, like there is everywhere. But we also know that we kind of feel, I think, in Buffalo, the Bills might be the last best shot anybody has to beat these guys this year. I feel like they've got a good shot at it. You know, they got a good squad. They're playing well. They're a little nicked up, just like the Chiefs are. But Bills fans feel like, you know, if they can somehow find a way to beat this team like nobody has, if they can beat this team, they can get back in the race, give them some pressure for the number one seed and make a season out of it instead of just being a foregone conclusion that the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl and winning it again.
Steve, where does this rivalry stand from the Buffalo perspective? Because looking at it through the lens of Kansas City, they have a contentious rivalry with Cincinnati. Cincinnati won an AFC championship game in Kansas City. Cincinnati talks trash. There's that banter kind of back and forth. From the Buffalo players' perspective, is there mutual respect for Kansas City? Is there hate? Is there dislike? How do Bills players feel about the Chiefs?
Oh, I think there's a healthy respect, no question about it. But there's also, from the fans' perspective here in Buffalo, they probably feel it's more of a roadblock than a rivalry. You know, I just can't get past these guys. Certainly in the regular season, the Bills have beaten the Chiefs more than anybody else. But when push comes to shove and it's a do or die game in the playoffs, they can't get it done. So there is a lot of angst about this game. And whenever you face the Chiefs, just because, you know, you never run off and leave them on the scoreboard. And even if you do get up by 10 points, they're going to come back and score on you and put the ball back into your court where you've got to score again. So there's a ton of respect in this area. And I think inside this locker room that for these Chiefs guys, and you just know that it's going to be one of those games that is going to come down to a final play, a final drive, whoever has the ball last, or into overtime. So there's just kind of a resignation that we're all going to be it's going to be high anxiety for everybody watching this game.
Right now, we're talking to Steve Tasker. He is the Bills legend. He also is the host of One Bills Live. You can catch on WGR. Steve, as we look to these two teams, Kansas City is a very different than the last time that these two teams played each other. No Isaiah Pacheco, no Rashee Rice. They've made the trade for DeAndre Hopkins. This is a familiar Chiefs team in a lot of ways, but very different also as well. How is Buffalo different from the last time these two teams played one another?
Well, at the beginning of this year, after the playoffs ended last year, there was only one guy left on the roster that had ever caught a pass from Josh Allen in a game. That's Khalil Shakir. Now they do have Dalton Kincaid, who's probably going to be out this game. They made the trade for Amari Cooper, which is a lot like the DeAndre Hopkins trade for the Kansas City Chiefs, although they have not been able to get him on the field because of an injury. All of that stuff is in the mix. Both these clubs have different faces around these two quarterbacks, but the two constants are Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen, and really everything builds off of their abilities. And even on the other side of the ball, the defense is – you know, take their cue from what these quarterbacks do. I think this is a game between the two quarterbacks and whichever defense can make a play. I mean, I don't even know if it comes down to whether you can stop the run or sack the quarterback. It's about a play in the right moment. You just know both these offenses are going to make enough plays to keep it close. And if it does come down to a play on the defensive side, it's going to be a splash play, a tipped interception or a sack. Or a turnover. It's just going to be one of those games. This rivalry is about the two guys taking snaps, and everybody else fills in around them. And I think the skill position for both these clubs and the differences that are present this year rather than last year is a testament to that.
I know you guys haven't got a chance to see a whole lot of Amari Cooper. He played in the first game. He had four catches for 66 yards and scored a touchdown. And then he had an injury. Where does he stand for Sunday's game? What can you expect from Amari Cooper on Sunday?
I think he's a game-time decision. He's been questionable all week. He's been limited in practice. It's a wrist injury, so it does affect him catching the ball. And one of the criticisms he's gotten, in fact, people were kind of nervously chuckling that the first target he got as a Bill, he dropped right in his chest. So, you know, and with a wrist injury, which is what this is, it kind of makes how effective can he be? They have missed his presence out there, and certainly the absence of Keon Coleman is a huge loss for this club. Coleman was really beginning to ascend as a weapon in this offense, and now with the wrist injury to him as well, his presence has really been missed. So with Khalil Shakir, Dawson Knox, James Cook, Ray Davis, the two running backs, that's kind of changed the personality of this offense. Now, having said that, in the last couple of weeks, with those guys at those spots, their third down conversion rate has skyrocketed from where it was early in the year. They had been very good on third down in years past. This year, not so much. But now they're starting to find it, and they're starting to become more Chiefs-like in their ability to stay on the field, and that has helped.
Right now, we're talking to Steve Tasker, who covers the Buffalo Bills. Let's keep it with the injury theme. No Dalton Kincaid in this game. I really like Kincaid. He's proven to be one of the better young tight ends in the league. What does it mean for Buffalo to not have him? And is this injury maybe softened by the fact that you do have a capable backup tight end in Dawson Knox, who has really matched up well against Kansas City?
Yeah, I think it more than the production, certainly Dawson Knox can play extremely well. And sign an extension, and they love having him out there. I think more than anything else, it will affect the personnel packages that the Bills want to use in this game. Without Dalton Kincaid, you're not going to go as much to tight end. You know, you're not going to go like that. So, and without Cooper or Coleman, it kind of curtails your ability to go three wide. So that's really the question. What personnel grouping are the Bills going to lean on the most, even when they throw the football as well as run it? That's the question. I don't know that there's going to be an answer until the game's over, or at least that it's begun.
Steve, from a defensive perspective, how do you feel Buffalo lines up against Kansas City in the seven games that these two teams have played against each other? Buffalo is giving up 27.1 points per game. This is one of the better defenses in the league, but I feel like they usually have a tough time stopping Kansas City in these matchups.
Yeah, I'll say the thing about the Bills defense, that early on in this rivalry, Leslie Frazier was the defensive coordinator, and the Bills' defense was very solid, very hard to move the football on. They were top three or four in the league in the rankings of all the yardage, yards per play, yards passing, yards rushing. But they were never spectacular under Leslie Frazier. They never made splash plays, got the big sack, got the big turnover. Then when Sean McDermott took over last year, that started to be the case. And now with Bob Babich as their defensive coordinator, that has continued to be the case. They're getting a little healthier up front. They got some help from Quentin Jefferson and Jordan Phillips being signed back onto the squad. That gives them some big bodies down inside. Dwayne Carter has gotten injured, the rookie, and he has not been able to play. But Daquan Jones is still there. Ed Oliver is still there. And this defense has been a really good defense at churning turnovers. That has been the real hallmark of this club. Their secondary has played really well and really sniffed out some balls that really you didn't think they would. Been unexpectedly a really good playmaking defense. So while their rankings and stats haven't been spectacular, they are a big part of why Buffalo is tied for the league lead in turnover differential.
Steve, you mentioned that this game has a playoff feel and a playoff atmosphere. I don't know if it's really possible to have a regular season game that has more importance than this one. We're talking about if Kansas City wins this game, they will have a four-game advantage over Buffalo. If the Chiefs lose this game, they will have a one-game advantage. Like, I don't know if you see too many regular season games, certainly not at this point in the season, that have that much bearing on who could potentially host the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, it's big. Certainly both these teams have run off and left their division rivals. The division, the AFC East, is certainly not going to be won by anybody but the Buffalo Bills this year. Of course, the West is the exact same for Kansas City. This is all about the seed, the playoff seeding. In a perfect world for both clubs, which of them are going to host the AFC Championship game against the other? That's really what this game is about. I think Bills fans up here are probably a little bit relieved that the Chiefs blocked that field goal last week against the Broncos. You don't really want to catch the Chiefs coming off a loss like that. The added pressure of kind of trying to, even though they'll say, well, it's just an extra thing going undefeated, that's still out there, and it adds a little bit of something to the Chiefs' plate that they got to think about while they're going through all of this. Certainly going for their third straight Super Bowl is out there for them. So I think the Bills are really, you're right, this game is big. And like I said earlier, I think most people out there think this is the last best chance for somebody to really beat the Chiefs. They've got a good schedule going forward. There's a couple of teams that might be a bump in the road, but once they start, get past this game, there's no question. It's just everybody's just watching the hourglass tick until the playoffs can start, and everybody has to go through Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl.
Steve, last question here. Give me a Chiefs key to victory. Give me a Bills key to victory in your mind.
Well, Chiefs key to victory is obviously being efficient on their drive. They got to finish drives with touchdowns. They can't settle for field goals here in Buffalo, particularly with a new field goal kicker who's a question mark. Punch it in the end zone. They've been very good on third down, and that's going to be the key. Just remain good on third down. Stay on the field and finish drives. And for Buffalo, I think defensively they've got to find a way to get their hands on the ball defensively and give Buffalo a couple of extra possessions. If they can do that, that'll give Josh Allen and a depleted skill group a chance to keep up with this Chiefs offense. But either way it goes, I still think this is coming down to the final possession.
That is Steve Tasker joining us on the show today. He is a Buffalo Bills legend. You can hear him on WGR in Buffalo, giving us the Bills' perspective for one of the most important regular season games in the last handful of years, Chiefs and Bills on Sunday. The entire country will be able to watch the game. Steve, great stuff. Appreciate your time. Have a great call on Sunday.
You too. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is Steve Tasker joining us on the show. Let's answer this question ourselves. Our Chiefs win if, Bills win if scenario. We'll also get to four of the other important games this weekend in the National Football League. We'll also be joined by Trent McDuffie coming up in 15 minutes. So keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan. My Chiefs win if scenario is if this team just continues to control the line of scrimmage and run the football effectively. It is not a surprise to me. I would say the game in which the Chiefs were the most at danger to lose so far this season was the game that they did not run the ball effectively. Now, it wasn't due to a lack of effort. I don't think that they got away from trying to run the ball. Denver did a really good job at forcing the Chiefs to be one-dimensional. They didn't really run the football effectively last week. I mean, they had 16 carries from their running backs, and they had 38 rushing yards. They only scored 16 points. Now, they left some meat on the bones. They missed a pass play to Travis Kelce. They also missed one to Xavier Worthy, but they had one of their worst offensive days, and it lined up with the day which they didn't run the football effectively. You know that the volume is going to be there with Kareem Hunt. He is going to get his opportunities. He is going to get his touches. He is going to get his carries. Control the line of scrimmage, run the football effectively, be a multifaceted, multidimensional offense, and especially when you get to the red zone and converting. I would say that their kicking situation is now the great unknown. I don't know how they're going to kick the ball on Sunday. It could be no change without having Harrison Butker. It could be the reason that the Chiefs lose on Sunday. We're going to have to see the way that the game plays itself out. But I would say continue to run the football, be balanced, control the line of scrimmage. That is my Chiefs win-if scenario. And if you're Buffalo, I think you're going to probably need to force a turnover in this game. Patrick Mahomes has done a really good job the last couple of weeks at protecting the football. Can you force him to make a mistake? And if you're Buffalo, it's in vain with the running the football, you probably need to take something away. This could be the healthiest and maybe most weapons that the Chiefs have had in a game. This could be the first game that you get DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce, and Juju. We'll see if Juju plays and what he looks like in the game. If you're not going to be able to take something away from Kansas City, I don't know if you're going to be able to win. I also think that Buffalo needs to be balanced. This is the game that I don't really see a game script that Buffalo wins if James Cook doesn't play well. So for Kansas City, I think it's continue to do what you've done with Kareem Hunt. For Buffalo, I think they're going to need to force a turnover. What are your keys to the game?
Mine are very similar. I'll start with Kansas City. Don't turn the ball over. Patrick Mahomes last 2 weeks has not turned the ball over, and the Chiefs have offense has looked better. I know everyone is circling DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, look, Hopkins is here. The offense is better, and there is an effect. I'm not saying there isn't. But you know what Patrick Mahomes has stopped doing the last 2 weeks? Giving the ball to the wrong team. There was a point in the NFL season, and not like week one, like week eight, where he had more interceptions than touchdowns. He cannot give the Bills possessions. We've heard Jeremy White and Steve Tasker both on this show this week, and they've both said if the Bills can get one, they feel pretty confident. Sean Barber said yesterday their defense is very fortunistic, as I believe what he said. I don't know if that's a word or not, but basically it means the Bills are going to try to thrive on turnovers. The Chiefs have had a turnover problem. If they can not have a problem on Sunday, I think they will win. For the Bills, you hit the nail on the head. James Cook. James Cook was the difference in the game at Arrowhead last year, the regular season game. Again, everyone's going to say, well, Kadarius Toney was offsides. The Chiefs had no answer for James Cook, not just on the ground. He had a nice day on the ground. He had five catches for 83 yards and a touchdown through the air. We know the Chiefs struggles this year defending the tight end in the passing game. They also, at least a couple times, have had problems defending the running back pass game. If James Cook is going to have 5 for 83, the Chiefs could be in big trouble. So it's similar to me. If you're Chiefs, protect the football. Don't give away possessions. And for the Bills, you got to get James Cook going. He's got to be like FedEx, air and ground. And if he does that, the Bills could be in for a win.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Trent McDuffie, cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also also be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. Before we get to that, there are a handful of other important games in the National Football League, none more important than the Chiefs and Bills game, but let's get to, I would say, the handful of other important games this weekend in the National Football League. Take it away, Rob.
Let's start in the NFC, Carrington, a team you believed in earlier this year, the Chicago Bears. Earlier this week, they fired their offensive coordinator, as Danny Parkins told us yesterday.
Embarrassing.
That's very big dysfunction when you fire the hand-picked OC to come in to groom the quarterback. But does a change at play caller mean the Bears are back as they play the Packers at home, or is it just rut-row time in the Windy City?
I mean, it definitely can't be a bad thing. I mean, over the last couple of weeks, they scored 3 points last week against the Patriots. They scored 9 points against the Arizona Cardinals, and they scored 15 points against Washington. So maybe shaking things up was a positive. I think you have to take Green Bay here. I think we know who Green Bay is. You know who they are? They're the NFC version of the Texans. Green Bay is not in the same category as Philadelphia, not in the same category as Detroit. They're probably not as good as San Francisco, but you know what? Green Bay is going to be a wild card team that is going to be a squad that you don't want to play in the postseason, and I think that they've clearly shown that they're better than teams like the Chicago Bears. There are 3 losses this year. They lost to Philadelphia, Minnesota, and Detroit. That is not what the Bears are. Give me the Packers on the road.
Let's stay in the noon slate. The second best game of the weekend, or at least the second best AFC game of the weekend, an AFC North clash between the Steelers and the Ravens. Weird scheduling quirk. It's the Steelers' first divisional opponent of the season.
Very, very late.
They are a team that myself, you, and many people view as a little bit of schedule-driven, although better than we thought. They have a chance to make a statement on Sunday against the Ravens. Will you consider them a viable one-seed contender if they win at home on Sunday?
Yeah, you know what? I am going to take the Steelers in this game. I really like the Steelers. Maybe I'm trying to compensate for the fact that I was not a believer early in the year, but the same way we talk about Patrick Mahomes and how you should take him every time that he's an underdog, you should feel the exact same way about Mike Tomlin. Did you know that Mike Tomlin actually has a winning record as a head coach when his team, they're the underdogs? And as a home underdog, Rob, they are 26-3 against the spread as a home underdog. So the correct play is to take Pittsburgh at home and the points. I think Pittsburgh is better at quarterback than people think. This is the best version of Najee Harris. They've got a capable defense. Give me the win outright at home against the Baltimore Ravens.
Speaking of the AFC, the Denver Broncos have a big one this weekend. They play at home against the Atlanta Falcons, 3 o'clock on Fox. If you got a 2-TV system, that'd be a nice one to keep in the background. Carrington, myself and a lot of other people have pointed this out. The Broncos' schedule is about to get more difficult. It started with Kansas City last weekend. They probably should have won, but you don't get any award for being real close. They did lose. Do they show that, hey, they're better than people think, or does the skid continue with the Falcons at home?
Yeah, I'm going to guess that the skid continues for the Broncos. This is just a really, really difficult stretch. I mean, you have played two, I would say, of the top six teams in the National Football League. You got embarrassed by one of them in Baltimore. You should have won last week against Kansas City. Now you play Atlanta at home. I think this is important. The fact that Atlanta is a small underdog in this one tells you, that Vegas actually thinks that they are the better team, but they're going to give the Broncos the slight edge because they're the home team. I think the Broncos are at a little bit of an offensive disadvantage. I really like Atlanta. If you want like a wild card, who can maybe get hot in the NFC, I really like the Falcons. I think the Falcons go on the road. I think they take care of business. I might even actually alternate spread this thing, maybe put it at 2.5, maybe 3.5. I think the Falcons go in and really make a statement against a very disciplined, good Broncos team.
The final and big other game this week, other than Chiefs and Bills.
And really quickly, just to give you, a quick thought on the Broncos. I mean, the Broncos 5 losses this year on the road against Seattle, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, Baltimore, and Kansas City. They have not shown me that they can beat this quality and this caliber of opponent. Atlanta is certainly closer to Baltimore and Kansas City than they are New Orleans without Derek Carr and Carolina, the last 2 wins for the Broncos. I like Atlanta.
Last game to highlight of the weekend, it is an NFC West tilt. The Seahawks head on the road to the San Francisco 49ers. Carrington, the Niners have been middling most of the year, but Christian McCaffrey is back. Does that mean the Niners look like that Super Bowl contender again, or do they continue to be up and down?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to take San Francisco in this game. I do think that they're getting right. I think they're getting healthy at the right time. They're getting back some of their key pieces. They're over 500. They have won two games in a row, and I think we're about to see this team go on a little bit of a run. Now, it's not the easiest schedule. They got Seattle, like you just mentioned, on the road against Green Bay, on the road against Buffalo. So we'll certainly see if San Francisco is still that Super Bowl caliber team. I do like them to take care of business against the Seattle Seahawks. That was part of my parlay earlier in the show. Go ahead and I'll take the points with San Francisco. They should have covered last week against Tampa Bay, but they just missed all of those field goals. I will take San Francisco at home, getting better in the second half of the season. A team that has won three out of its last four, and their only loss was a home loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Trent McDuffie, all-pro corner for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll learn a little bit more about him. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We are happy right now to be joined by Chiefs cornerback Trent McDuffie in preparation for Sunday's game against Buffalo. Trent, man, happy to have you on the show today.
Yeah, man, appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, man. Let's start with this. We are not asking you any football questions. We want to learn more about you. You guys are playing Buffalo. They're obviously known for their wings. Are you taking drums or flats?
Flats, all day.
See, this was my argument. I like flats. I like the drums. I think we get way too picky on chicken. Chicken is chicken. I'm going to eat it. You can have the drum. I'll take the flat, vice versa. I just want it to be well-seasoned and cook right. That's all I care about.
Honestly, I agree with that. You know, you really can't go wrong. But if I had my pickings, I would have to go flats.
All right, what is your favorite wing flavor? So I'll give you my top three while you think about it. I'm going to go lemon pepper, number one. I like a Cajun Louisiana kind of rub for number two. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go garlic parmesan for number three. That's my top three. Give me your top three wing flavors.
See, I'm with you. Lemon pepper got to be one. That's got to be at the top of the list always. Two, I kind of like a little spicy. I'll just put regular buffalo. And three, I'm with you on that Cajun, dog. That Cajun, every now and again, I can do some Cajun seasoning. So that'll probably be my top three.
Whenever you want some wings, where are you normally going to get wings? Is there a place, maybe a place back home, maybe a place that you found in the city? Let's say that, you know, it's a Saturday, you want to watch some college football, or you guys got a bye week, you're watching football. Where do you go get wings?
Man, wings, honestly, I'm going to have to hit up one of the local barbecue spots, like Jack Stack. They got a pretty good wing selection. There's this place down in Westport called I wish I could remember to put them on, but usually I go to like one of the barbecue spots around here. They're more local. Keep it simple. If you got any good wing spots out here, though, I'm definitely open.
All right, next question here. Let's say that there is a $1 million competition, and you got to sing a karaoke song. You got to go and you got to knock it out of the park. What song are you singing to try to go win that $1 million?
I'm going to give you some Alicia Keys if I ain't got you. And I'm going to play it on the piano just to make it a little more special.
Hold on. You can play the piano?
A little song. I dibble dabble.
This is a cheat code for the girlies, man. You can't be you already playing the NFL. You can sing and you can play the piano. You got to you gotta leave some for the rest of us, man.
I love it, man. Multi-talented. Multi-talented.
Are there any other instruments that you can play?
I would like to say drums just because it's easy to keep a beat, easy to keep a rhythm. But other than that, I'm trying to learn some guitar. I do like the guitar. I like the bass, but mainly just piano. I could jump on the drums if I really need to.
Right now, we're catching up with Trent McDuffie here, learning a little bit more about him. Trent, these are your two options. I will give you the ability to speak to animals like Dr. Doolittle, or I will give you the ability to speak every language. Which one would you rather do?
Every language. For sure. I think, you know, talking to animals, that could be cool and all, but if I can speak multiple languages, I think that's the coolest thing ever. I took Spanish for like 6 years, still don't know it. I'm trying to learn all these different things. So I got a real respect for people who can speak multiple languages.
If I could go back, because, you know, I was a communications major, so we had to take, you know, a foreign language class. I took Spanish classes, too. I wish I had paid more attention in those classes. Learning Spanish was, it was a far more valuable skill than I realized at 14, 15 years old.
I agree with that 100%, especially that you go and travel, you know, and stuff. I always love to go to Mexico. And I'm always sitting around there like, see, I've heard this before, but I just don't understand. And I'm so ashamed of myself.
Whenever you go to Mexico, what part? Are you a Cancun? Are you a Tulum? What part of Mexico do you go to?
Man, I've done Cancun. I've done Tulum. I've done more on the West Coast, Cabo. So Mexico's like the first place I really traveled to outside the U.S. So I've hit a few parts there.
I usually try to go to Cancun right before you guys start training camp. Like, it's kind of my last, all right, you know, let me get ready for the season. Let me kind of relax a little bit. The last time I went to Cancun, Trent, let me tell you the story. So I get there Thursday, you know, you get a couple of drinks, you kind of, you know, you're still tired from the travel day. I'm ready to go. I'm here Friday, Saturday, Sunday, fly back Monday. Trent, I am not lying to you. That Friday after brunch, went to the beach. It started to rain. It rained every single moment I was there for the entire weekend. I don't know if I ever want to go to Cancun again.
Man, that's the worst. That's especially when you travel, you got a nice little weekend booked out. Rain got to be the worst. But hopefully you're still able to vibe out a little bit, kick your feet up in the hotel room.
Right now we're talking to Trent McDuffie. Trent, if I give you the two options, would you rather go to the moon or the bottom of the ocean?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'll probably go to the moon. I don't like the ocean. I'm scared of the ocean, so I don't want to go to no bottom of the ocean. Let me go up top, see the stars, see the Earth from space. I think that's a little more cooler.
That's the one I would pick, too. Like, I don't – like, you're telling me there's, like, sharks and – like, animals in the ocean they don't even know exist. I don't want to go down there.
I always say, I know you can't breathe in space, but there's just something about water. I don't like water.
All right, Trent, since you are a music guy, give me the first concert you went to. What's the best concert you went to, and who's an artist that you haven't seen yet that you want to see?
I ain't never been to a concert. So sadly enough, that's still on the bucket list. I got to go see a concert. And I don't know. I don't know who to see. I think that's the problem. I hear there's a lot of good artists that are really good in person. I know some artists that I do like aren't that good. So I kind of just been waiting for that right time for me to be like, okay, I want to see this artist, because I'm more of an old school guy, you know, 90s, a little bit into the 2000s. So a lot of the music I listen to, ain't really out here having a lot of concerts.
Trent, that's crazy to me that you've never been to a concert, especially living now in Kansas City, you know? I mean, Jelly Roll just came, Beyonce's been here, Drake's been here. Almost every artist you probably listen to, they've been to Kansas City, it feels like, in the last 2 years.
Man, that is true. I can't say none for that, but I ain't really trying to go see them in concert, to be honest. I'm trying to see some new, some flavorful. You know who I would have gone and seen? I would have gone to see Rod Wave before he had a cancer. That was someone that I was really considering seeing, because I like his music. They play a lot in the locker room, so I could connect to it a little bit.
I went to go see Rod Wave the last time he was here, and I don't know much of his music. That's just not really my era, not really my generation. And, Trent, let me tell you, you would have thought that Whitney Houston was up there singing the way these kids, they know all the words, they was crying. I never seen anything like it, brother. I never seen anything like it.
Oh, man, see, that's the exact reason I want to go see the concert. Instead of the music, I'm trying to just feel the atmosphere and see what the fans are talking about.
Right now, we're talking to Trent McDuffie for a couple more minutes here. Trent, give us one normal thing that you can't do. So, for example, I cannot blow a bubble. I cannot blow up a balloon. I've tried my whole life. I've never been able to do it. What's one of those normal activities that you can't do?
That's a good question. What can't I do? You know what I really can't do? I can't swim very well. Yeah, I can't swim very well. I feel like that's something that a lot of people know how to do, that I just, like I said, I don't really like the water. I grew up in California, grew up on the beach, but it just ain't really been my thing. So I'm not the strongest swimmer. I say I can stay afloat here and there, but if we do a little race, you're going to smoke me.
See, Trent, I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, so I just never really saw a reason to learn how to swim. You grew up near the beach. I just don't go anywhere where the water is.
Look, whenever me and my family go to the beach, I'm always the one up top in the sand. usually wearing some sweats or something. Like, I don't even bring swim trunks to the beach.
I got two final questions here. Let's say that you guys have a basketball tournament on your team. You guys are running a 3-on-3. Who are the two guys that you want on your team for this 3-on-3 tournament?
I need a big dude. So I'm going to do Chris Jones. I've seen his basketball skills. Heavy set. He can play in the post, kind of like my Shaq dominant. And a shooter, you know, I'm going to go Josh Williams. Tall, lengthy. He can jump now. I don't know if people know, but that man got boosted. So I feel like with me being the point, you know, dishing it out a little bit, got the big man, got Josh who can shoot, who can dunk. I think we can go pretty far.
All right, last question here. I asked Patrick this question earlier in the week, that if you guys had a wing-eating contest, you can eat the most wings in a 10-minute stretch, who would you pick? I'll tell you who he picked, but who would you pick to win this contest, as many wings in 10 minutes?
I'm either going with my boy Derek Nnadi or my boy Turk, Tershawn Wharton. I've seen them men in the cafeteria during breakfast, and I've seen them put down a lot of food. I know Trey Smith is good. I've seen him at the Kels gym, but I'm about to stick with the defense, with my D lineman.
So actually, that's who Patrick picked. Patrick picked Trey Smith. So offense is picking offense, defense is picking defense. We might have to set this up. We might have to set up a Trey Smith against Derek Nnadi wing eating contest to see who pulls this one out.
Yep, that's only right.
That is Trent McDuffie joining us on the show today. Happy to learn a little bit more about him. Trent, I want for you to get one interception this weekend. That's all I want. I want you to get one pick this weekend, Trent.
Man, I appreciate you speaking out there for me.
I appreciate you, man. Take care, man.
Howdy.
I'm just trying to put some positive energy out there, Rob. If he gets an interception this week, he owes us the game ball. That's what I'm going to go ahead and put that out into the atmosphere right now. You don't get to keep the game ball from your first interception when you come on the show. We want the game ball. Coming up, Nate Taylor from The Athletic is going to join us in studio for the entire 4 o'clock hour. Keep it right here. So drive. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.